Just to recap a little bit on what we've looked at already. Whenever we read there in Matthew chapter 5, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount, blessed, it's referring to bliss. It's really referring to the blessedness of God. And it is, as I said on the other two occasions we looked at it, a very important part of God's word. In verse 1, we see there that when he was set, the Lord sat down, and a teacher sitting down in those days was always associated with something that was very official teaching. And therefore, it is very important. In fact, when you look there in verse 2, and it says, he opened his mouth, that would seem a natural thing when you're speaking, but the thrust of the words is that he had something very weighty or of very great importance to say. It's referring to the fact that now nothing would be held back regarding truth that needed to be told. That is the thought behind what the Lord had to say here. And it's a very important part, as we said, blessed, referring to the blessedness of God's people. We did mention at the very start that it's not happiness. The word happiness is a word we like, and we do like happiness when we have it. But the word happiness itself has in it the root word hap, and it's to do with chance. And happiness really is related to chance. Things can make you very happy today, and your happiness can be greatly unaffected then, or greatly affected then before too long. That's not what this passage is about. It's not talking about happiness, which by and large is dependent on circumstances. It's speaking about something which is so important to us, because we know that while the Lord may give many happy days overall, we need this blessedness which never changes, no matter about circumstances. And that is why various things are mentioned here. We did say that it's important that Christians notice what the passage is teaching. And it says there in the verse 3, blessed are the poor. It does not mean that it's a great happy thing to not have money to buy bread. It's not what it's saying. It's meaning destitute of power within self to do anything. And then totally relying upon the Lord, feeling your need. And Christian, this Sunday morning you feel your need. That's a good thing, because I feel mine. And it's good that we feel our need. But if you look there in the next one, blessed are they that mourn. And while the Lord comforts those who do mourn, he draws very near to his people and helps them and encourages them. The reference here is to those who mourn over several things. Over responsibility, that is in the Bible. We're given responsibility. But sometimes the reaction of people to what we're trying to do can get you downcast. And it's really like mourning. People are really nasty. We know that there's no major persecution in this country at the present time. In some parts of the world there is, for God's people. And they do mourn in the sense there that it means to be very pained of heart. That's what the word mourn there means. But also we mourn because of the perverseness of the world all around us. You may think, and I may think, well, I'm big now. I can handle myself all right. And that may well be the case. But everybody here in this room has a heart for children. And when we know them, or we have them, and we pray for them, we worry about them. And we are concerned, because we know a lot of what goes on in the world, about the perverseness of the world. You think when Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, there was something there that should have been dealt with, and there's nothing in us of ourselves, and sorrowing for sin all around us, and the escalating of wickedness. And then now we come today to this one, blessed are the meek, really shows us the importance of being humble, importance of humility. Again, when Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians 10, he said there, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. How do you pull down the strongholds of false reasoning or of prejudice? Well, when he says there, the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. He's referring, by and large, to God's word. To the word, and how when it is preached, how it condemns men in their sin. And very often when that happens, or sometimes anyway, they will turn to the Lord in repentance. God's word searches out the hearts of his own people and enables us in a humble way to believe and receive all the truths of the Bible that keep us right and help us. And then when prejudices or even, let's say among God's people, false reasoning enters in, it can be dealt with by the word. And therefore, when you take what we read there in 2 Corinthians 10 or quoted, and what we're seeing here, we read over in the Psalm 37, which we'll look at in a minute, we have a meek person, or meekness. And the title today is, Blessed Are the Meek. And I just want to mention some areas of our lives that this will affect. We're looking at Blessed Are the Meek. I want to notice, first of all, control and practice. You can see the word meek there in verse 5. Well, the word meek or meekness in Greek, in which the New Testament, as you know, was written in, is a very interesting word. It describes several things. It is from a word which describes a gentle breeze. And you know what that is. It is also a word that describes a colt or a horse that has been broken in. And again, it also describes a soothing medicine. Now, you think of those things. You think of the breeze or the wind. You think of a horse that has been broken, and you think of a soothing medicine or the ability of medicine. You think of something that has power. Something that has power. And I want to just at the moment say that this word meekness, the word protos, it refers, when it's referring here to Christians, to you and me, it refers to the ability to bear reproach. The ability to bear reproach and slights. And folks, you and I both know that whenever we are reproached by the world or slighted by someone, or someone has backbitten and has come back to us and we heard about it, what they said and all that, immediately, almost, we tend to think, well, that's okay. My day will come and we'll get you back for that one. And that would be wrong. That would be wrong. It is a way that we can easily react, but this word meekness for Christians refers to both tranquility and stability. If I take it overall, what it means here regarding control, it refers to a man or woman who acts with gentleness when they have the authority or ability to be very stern. That's a great thing, to be able to act with gentleness. Gentleness not with its source in weakness or indifference to what is happening, or indeed with its source in fear, but with the source in a humble and lowly attitude. And certainly that is, again, where we want to be. I mentioned the wind, that the word translated meekness there is a word which describes the wind. The wind has great strength and can cause an awful lot of damage. But if it's a gentle breeze, it can be very refreshing. And you know what it is to be out there on a really, really hot day, and then there's a little breeze, and maybe you go down to the seaside, there's a breeze there, and it's very refreshing. Also medicine. Medicine can promote healing. It can also poison you if you take too much. But then the horse. A horse is extremely useful and has been over the years if it's broken in. But you grab hold of a wild horse, it may kill you. It can be very, very, very dangerous. So the whole thrust behind the word meekness, whether it's to do with the wind or the medicine or the horse or me, it's to do with keeping things under control. Keeping things under control, because all of them and you have ability or power to affect. Power to affect. When I speak here of control, I want to just read what it says over in Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25. verse 28 says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit. There's somebody who's not controlled. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. What does that mean? It means that anything can get into the city. And when the walls are broken down, the enemy can come in. And it's like when we read about the wall broken down because someone was lazy and the vineyard, the wall was broken down. All was able to get in that could damage the vineyard. And for me, if I do not have any rule over my own spirit, I'm like a city that is broken down. So it is very, very important that there is this control, and it is meekness. It is meekness. But also in the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, and the verse 32 this time, he that is slow to anger. Now, I want to say something here. There is such a thing as rightly being angry. When you're angry at something that dishonors the Lord, that is righteous anger. And people will forget very often that the Lord Jesus Christ, when we read about him through the Bible, he was angry. He was angry, but he was slow to anger. But it says here, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And then here's a very important part. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. You can imagine the triumph and the lauding of some general as his army would take a city, and they hoist their own standard or their own flag, and everybody is celebrating this great victory that has been won. The city is now theirs. Well, when you compare that with what we read just a moment ago, that where he doesn't control his spirit, he's like a city that has no walls, and the walls are all broken down. You think of probably a very good example of this is over in 2 Samuel. And when David, at this stage, Uriah the Hittite is dead. He has been killed. You can say David murdered him. He set him up. David has now been in a relationship with this man's wife. And Nathan, who was, well, one commentator called Nathan David's chaplain. Maybe he was. In a sense, he certainly was a good and a godly man. And he was there with David in this chapter. So it's 2 Samuel chapter 16. Let's look there. Here's David. I should have said to you that David, whenever Nathan came to him, it's a different passage actually. When Nathan came to him, Nathan told David a story about a man who had a little sheep. And someone came along and they killed that little sheep. And David, as he listened to the story, Nathan must have been a very good communicator, because as David listened to the story, David indicated that he was going to have him killed. He was so angry about the whole thing. And Nathan was building up the situation here where he was going to confront David about what he had done, about how he had been a home wrecker. He had been a murderer. He was a deceiver. He was a liar. And he at the end of this story about the little sheep, Nathan turns to David and he says, thou art the man. Thou art the man. King David, just hold on a minute. It's you that's caused the problem. You shifting about when you should have been out leading. You're supposed to be a leader. But you caused it. Now, he took his heart in his hands as he did that. There's no question. But you know what David said? David could have had him killed there and then. Verse 13, David said, I have sinned against the Lord. Why did he do that? Yes, David had a barren year, but David was a meek man. David was a meek man. Remember David in the cave when Saul was there? In an instant, he could have had Saul put to death. He didn't do it. Why? Because he was meek. He had every reason to be angry. If somebody tried to kill you several times and you had an opportunity to put an end to that, well, I'm not suggesting you would do it, but you can understand in David's position he might have done it. But he didn't, because he was a weak man. He was a man. Yes, he had a terrible year, and it caused a lot of terrible hurt. And in fact, his family never fully recovered from the consequences of what he did. But in much of his life, he was a controlled man. He was a meek man. A meek man. Folks, ladies and gentlemen, the world's out of control, but we want to be controlled. Blessed are the meek, it says. Blessed are the meek. I want to move on here and say there's not just the thought of control and practice. There is the conditions of possession. Now, let's go back again and look at our Beatitude. It says, blessed are the meek, you know what they are. It says, they shall inherit the earth. Inherit, when you think of inheriting, you think, well, some person perhaps passed away and they left something to someone, maybe a friend or someone who's been kind to them or a family or whatever. But in the Bible, possession or inheriting was referring to something that was promised. Something that was promised. You see, this Beatitude, as you're now aware, is a direct quote from the psalm we read earlier on. Psalm 37, it says in verse 11, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. And this would have been originally a referring to what the Lord had promised to the children of Israel, how he would give to them the promised land. It was the promised land. He promised it to them. But then the time come when many of the Jews were looking beyond material things, and they talked about a Messiah, something that was greater than any amount of land or physical inheritance that they could have. And if you read the whole psalm, you will see here that it is a lovely psalm. And if you look there right through it, you will see that David is showing here that he has a meek spirit, that those who trust and obey the Lord will know great blessing, but not just when they go to heaven, here on earth as well. Here on earth as well can know great blessing. And the conditions of possession is obedience. Remember the children of Israel, they wandered about for years, so disobedient. Is obedience and trusting in the Lord. And you and I, as we look to him, we're read and come towards the end of this another year, we're reading, we're reacting, I should say, to his direction, hopefully all of us. We're resting upon his promises, but we're realizing what we can have. And I want to mention that. For everything that's happened with COVID, for me, I feel that 2021 has been a good year. A year when the Lord has answered prayer, and certainly we haven't had everything that we wanted, whether it is in private life or in the Lord's work. But the Lord has been good, and he has answered prayer in remarkable ways. And folks, as we look out soon into 2022, here's the conditions of possession, obeying the Lord. That was the conditions that the children of Israel were told to obey him. If you obey my commandments, so often they didn't. And man hasn't changed that much. He's still very capable of going his own way. But I'll just read this. You needn't turn to it. Deuteronomy 11. We read part of it, I think, on Wednesday night about the word of God there in verse 16 of Deuteronomy 11. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, that you turn aside. And then in verse 18, therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and bind them for a sign upon your hand. We said that it was sewn onto a piece of your garment in order that you be constantly reminded of that, what was there, of the words of the Lord. And the reason for that is verse 21, that your days may be multiplied and the days of your children. That does not mean everybody lives to be 150, but it means good days, useful days, days of blessing, that your days may be multiplied and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them. There's the promise. And then look at this, as the days of heaven upon earth. And folks, that is invaluable to God's people. I don't look back in 2021 and feel that we've had days of heaven on earth, but we've had good days. Had good days when the Lord has come along and answered for us, prayer for us. I'm turning again here quickly over to the Psalm 37. I just want to mention one or two things. It says there in verse 3 of that Psalm, trust in the Lord. Did you notice in verse 1 it says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. And then it says in verse 8, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. There's the natural reaction of, well, they got me, I'm going to get them, my turn will come. That actually happened to me once. A person did something really, well, it's years ago when it was to do with just a backbiting sort of thing. But then the opportunity came around, and I really, you wouldn't know this person, I really, really could have sunk them. There's actually a couple of people encouraged me to do that, I wouldn't do it. I'm glad I didn't do it. And it says here, fret not thyself because of evildoers. And then it says there, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. And the word evil there, to do evil, means to treat ill. Bless them that curse you. Isn't that what the Bible says? Pray for those that despitefully use you. Those things are not easy, but they're part and parcel of our calling. Now, Psalm 37, you can read it all yourself. David had plenty of troubles, but he had his confidence in the Word. And whenever you and I, or David, meekly accept the Word of God, we get back into blessing. And that's where we all want to be, back into blessing. And I ask myself the question, as you must do, is God speaking to me through His Word, whether it's preached or reading it at home? And do I want Him to help me through His Word? Would we like to have the days of heaven on earth? Well, I don't know what 2022 holds, but I know that there's plenty of potential there for the Lord's blessing to rest upon us. So blessed are the meek. We looked here, first of all, at the control and practice, then at the conditions of possession of this blessing. We need to obey Him. But I want to just mention this in finishing. There is the thought of conquering now. Conquering now as a Christian. Someone described the word meekness as mastery of the man. Mastery of the man. You see, self-discipline is the way to strength. Just appeasing ourselves and doing all that we want to do and thinking, well, I'm going to do what I want anyway. That's a life of defeat. Self-discipline is the way to strength and can make your life and my life very useful and also very joyful. And self-control for Christian people means a God-controlled life. A God-controlled life. So now you see that blessed are the meek, those who are humble, for they shall inherit. The Lord's promises are for them. They shall inherit the earth. Not whatever your view is on the second coming. We're looking at the here and now, the moment, where it says, for they shall inherit the earth. And this bliss is something, as I said, is the blessedness of God. But it's the bliss of being controlled. And that will mean right with God. I often ask myself the question, I mean this. I ask myself the question, is my heart right with God? Am I right with self? Am I right with my fellow man? And men and women, the Lord is able to give all of us, to all of this to all of us. I trust that the Lord will help us as we go forward to be meek. As I said, it's natural in this sinful world not to be meek, but we are called to be meek. Remember the development here. Those who are completely depending upon Him, that's the first beatitude. Those who are brokenhearted because of what they see around them, and Christian, you're bound to be. And those who are willing to walk humbly before Him, to obey Him, to hold on to His promises, but more than that, to realize the promises and to enjoy the blessing of the Lord upon them as they do that. And I trust the Lord will help us all to know the peace that this can bring, even in a stormy world.